Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. We're talking about all things ham radio and I'm dragging my wife along for the fun. Without further ado, let's get started. Hey Leia, it's been a week, hasn't it?
It's been less than a week.
It's been less than a week. Yes, we're recording this a day early. We'll still post it on Friday, but it's one day early recording.
Okay.
So how was your week so far? And I guess since the last time we did the podcast, that would be living on the Thursday to Thursday cycle when I refer to the week.
Sure. Mm. Well, it turns out that you're a terrible influence on the kids because I got them a build kit and all they wanted to do was make antennas out of it.
Well, they built a home, a house, and then they put an antenna on
it. The first thing that Edison made out of the straw and connector set.
Yes.
Was an antenna.
I mean, the straw and connector set, they're not like super rigid enough to be just straight up weapons, which is their default.
Right.
But they look like antennas.
Okay.
They do.
They are straw and connectors.
Ben even built a Yagi and came and showed it to me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, antenna. I was like, yes, Ben, very good. That's a Yagi.
And I told them none of these are going on the roof.
It is a Yagi Uda antenna. Do you know what that, did that come up in your question pool yet?
It did not.
Yagi and Uda are the last names of the people that developed the Yagi Uda antenna.
Mm. Are you going to try to invent something so that you can get your name on a test question?
Who knows? Maybe that would be fun. I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, it would be nice to develop an antenna. I think that I am currently more capable of doing that.
Okay.
And like taking it to production.
Okay.
Like a kit or something, than like a full-on radio. My electronic skills are not up to that level, although I am working on it. I'm working on a project, if you will, to improve my electrical skills. Because I'm a software dude, straight up. Like, that's
not
my
hardware
background. Not a hardware guy. Never was.
Didn't even know that rosin was in the middle of...
What? What an idiot.
Of solder, I mean.
I knew flux is... But
okay.
Sure.
All
yes.
Right. Thanks, Sterling, by the way. Thank you again, Sterling.
Sterling will be back later in the email. So
I definitely appreciate Sterling fact-checking.
We do.
And this week we have another YouTuber who also chimed in.
Yes, I think I know who that is too, because they're all, you know, we talk.
Yes.
The YouTubers. We dish, is what I like to say.
Yes. What he was described as an engineering genius.
Yes. A proper mechanical engineer. Yeah. We sing his praises often, but I don't want to spoil it, but everybody knows
sure.
who I'm talking about now just
sure.
by saying that.
Yes.
I think that everyone knows who we're talking about.
Everybody immediately knows.
Right. Well, welcome again to the Ham Radio Crash Course podcast form. For those that don't know, and it's a thing, this is a follow-on of the YouTube channel of the same name. You can find it by going to YouTube and typing in Ham Radio Crash Course.
Yes, because Josh does a weekly live stream in which he talks to himself.
Yes, I literally look at a video feed of me while talking to me. I do look at a chat room as well, though, so it's not totally weird, but it's a little weird. Sometimes there's other people that I can look at.
That's true.
When I'm interviewing people, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that must be weird for you.
Yeah, it's a little odd. It's like invading my personal space a little bit. The personal space of, you know, 500
except for when it's
watching.
Sean.
Oh, then it's like I'm paying attention to this man very intently.
Right. And then he becomes Penn and you become Teller.
That is a thing we could do. But who's going to get me to shut up? There's no way.
No, I can't.
No, of course you can.
Best of intentions. Mm.
Well, we'd like to kick off the Ham Radio Crash Course with the Ham Radio Minute. Oh, it's a little
bit. It's never a minute.
It's never a minute. It's just a little bit of ham radio, either an answer to a question somebody's asked me or something that piques my interest that I want to remind people.
This is like a reintroduction podcast.
Well, a little bit. I like to remind people every now and then what we're trying to do out here. Now, today, this week, was it this week? It was this week. I posted a video on using an SMA to BNC adapter for your HDs. It's
right.
A very short video, doing really well. People seem to resonate with, you know, that little tidbit of information.
I think Amazon sold out of
Amazon
the connectors.
Sold out of the connector that I recommended. But then I realized that actually Signal Stick they sell adapters, and the adapters that they sell, I would argue, is equal to or of greater quality than the ones that were on Amazon anyway, and I believe they were cheaper.
And so also you're supporting a small business.
Right.
And that small business is actually supporting Grow the Hobby. I'm using hamstudy.org right now.
And, you know, on top of all that, the owner of Hamstudy has given us coupon codes to give away signal sticks. I feel like over the sum total of giveaways we've done of signal sticks, I feel like it's getting close to like 50.
Really?
Yeah. Over the course of like the last 2 years. He's awesome for that. So,
okay. Well, yeah. we'll post a link in the show notes to Signal Stick and mm-hmm. that.
But a question came out from the video that I posted, because there's a B-roll that I have where I do like a zoom in shot of my 705. Mm. My 705 has a right angle B and C connector to the radio, and I have a signal stick on it, and I often use the signal stick with the 705. And I got a question from somebody saying, hey, can you do that with, you know, other radios? And I said, yeah, generally you can. And it goes, okay, can I do that with an ICOM 2730A, which is a 50 watt VHF UHF radio? And so I said, no, because that antenna is for handhelds. Right.
Okay.
It's good for 5, maybe upwards of 10 watts, but 5 watts is what it's designed for. And he goes, no. I'm going to get the appropriate antenna for the ICOM, and I want to do the right angle out of the back of the radio and have it connected that way. So the Ham Radio Minute today is, don't radiate yourself with RF. And it was an honest question. It wasn't a dumb question, because there's a lot of people that do that, but I think there's a nuance that we need
to talk about. So putting that B and C connector would cause radiation?
No. It's okay. The proximity to the radio. So when we use those little B and C brackets, it's often for radios that are QRP and operating in the HF space.
Okay.
As you go higher in frequency, your exposure limits, particularly when you start getting to like 70 centimeters, which is what the 2730 does,
okay,
is much less. You can be exposed to it less and it be safe.
Okay.
Okay. Also consider the QRP radio, like the 705 or the other radio that a lot of people do the same thing with, the Yaesu 817 and 818. They put out 5 watts in the case of the 818, 8817, and 10 watts max for the ICOM 705. The 2730A will put out 50 watts on VHF and UHF. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post in the show notes a link to a calculator, an online calculator you can use to determine your RF exposure distances from your antenna. It's not that you can't do it. If you dial back the power and you're on, you know, an appropriate frequency for, you know, whatever you're operating, it's all based on how much time, what frequency, how much power output. So there's a calculator. I'll post it and you can check that out. So you make sure you're not radiating yourself with RF.
What's a website called? Don't Burn Me?
Don't Burn Me, bro. It's hintlink.com/power_density.htm.
That is not at all indicative of what you told me just now that it does.
Don't radiate me, bro. Mm. Okay. Well, moving on to the review this week. So far, we only got one review this week, which is okay. We just would like to remind you that if you do like the show, if you could, give us a 5-star review over on iTunes, and if you want to, leave a comment. And we read them live on the show. The comment is from the Decibel Master, which I might have read last week, but it says, love your content. This is an awesome podcast. My prepper friends got me into getting a Baofeng. As I started to play around with it and program repeaters, I really got into the ham radio aspect. So much so, I bought an FT3DR. I'm currently studying to get my technician license, and the HRCC podcast and YouTube live streams have been entertaining and incredibly useful. You will not be disappointed with this series. Keep up the great work.
Aw, that's so nice.
It is very nice. Thank you very much, the Decibel Master.
He must have bought this before everything sold out.
Yes, right? Yeah, 1 week ago, which was before that time. So, okay. Leia, you, I bet, have a bunch of emails that you'd like to read.
I have less emails this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe everybody's getting ready for Winterfield Day. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, or maybe there's just no more questions.
Between me and all the other creators and all the content that's out there and the websites and the forums and the books, we found it. We hit the end.
Yeah, we have provided all of the ham radio knowledge. Not to me. Mm-mm. I mean, no, because I still haven't passed the technician test. But it's
a group effort. You've helped.
Yeah.
The Watson effect. You've talked about this.
I thought Watson was actually quite good at what he did.
He was an actual physician and doctor, right. And the downplaying of his skills was something that was like more for, I don't know.
Wasn't he also a martial arts expert?
They were all generally good at fighting, yeah, but it wasn't...
Amazing.
When people say martial arts, they sometimes mean of the East, but no, like he was a stick fighter. Sherlock Holmes for sure was a stick fighter.
Okay.
As well as a boxer and some other stuff too. But yeah, they were quite... I think it was when he got the deer tracker, cloak,
okay,
and had the crazy hat. That whole era of Sherlock... That's when Watson got dumb and he became more like a foil than...
So when I think of Sherlock Holmes now, I think of Benedict Cumberbatch. Oh, God. With his little ferret face.
I think of Tony Stark.
What?
Because he's played everybody.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah,
Jude Law was Watson and he was good.
Oh, that he is actually quite a good Sherlock Holmes, actually.
I thought so. I think he played up. Well, he didn't do opium enough.
I also think about the Sherlock Holmes from the holodeck on Star Trek: The Next Generation. That is the other Sherlock Holmes I think of.
That was not Sherlock Holmes. That was Moriarty.
Yes.
Yes. Sherlock Holmes' greatest villain.
Jean-Luc Picard played Sherlock.
Okay, of course he did. Yes. But yeah, Moriarty becomes a sentient AI life form that exits the holodeck. And that was the big moment in the episode when he steps out of the holodeck, when they tried to shut him down and he didn't, and he walks out. That was pretty cool. That was a good episode.
Yes.
Nerding out a little bit.
And that is not your favorite Star Trek series still.
No.
Okay, well, agree to disagree, I guess.
I think it's probably second. It's probably my second favorite.
Okay. It's because you don't like Wesley Crusher, and I love Wesley Crusher.
Yeah, but he's like out of it early on. He's not in the best episodes generally. So, he's in a couple. But.
You just keep holding on, waiting to see Will Wheaton again.
<That's> I have never felt that way.
You hate Will Wheaton so much.
He's kind of a jerk for a guy that says like, "Don't be a dick." He's kind of a jerk.
I don't know when he personally wronged you.
Just go to his Twitter.
Oh, so you argued with him on Twitter?
No, I've never argued with Will Wheaton. I don't argue with people on Twitter.
But that's the point of the platform.
Yeah, and that's sad. Facebook isn't good enough for you. We got to go to... I get it. I'm just kidding.
You got to be able to yell at random people on the internet and not be limited to a feed of people.
Did I get my blue check yet? Am I Twitter verified? I don't think I'm going to get Twitter verified. I don't post enough.
That's
still a thing.
Okay. I mean, on TikTok, I get it. You really want to be verified on TikTok.
Right. Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you'd like to email Leia, you can reach her at leia@hamtactical.com, which is also the website of the Ham Radio Crash Course merch store.
It is.
It's where we release our shirts and stickers and mugs and glasses and sweaters and hoodies and all that stuff.
I am in the middle of designing a Winter Field Day shirt.
Ah, that is this weekend as you listen to the podcast.
And when we do field day shirts, those are the limited edition shirts.
Right. There's like one run of them and that's it.
Right. So whoever got the field day shirt the last time we released them, complete your set.
Which was during field day.
Yes.
But that was field day 2020.
Yes.
So this is going to be a whole new set of shirts. Mm-hmm. There would be a field day 2021.
It's true.
And a winter field day 2021.
Yeah, that's what it'll be called. But oddly, it's going to be a beach scene. So, yeah.
That could be foreshadowing. I don't know.
Everybody will find out soon. Yes. Soon enough. Okay. So, the first email this week is titled Shirt Idea from Scott. It says, I'm quite behind on your podcasts, but don't want to jump ahead. currently listening to September 18th, 2020.
Nice.
That's a good vintage. That is behind.
It's a good vintage.
Well, what's
that? That's Cat Cup land, I think. I think Cat Cups is in there somewhere.
Is it?
I think so. Because it was still warm outside.
You know, Scott, you tell us. Yeah, do Scott, you know about Cat Cups
yet? Email us back what episode Cat Cups is on so we can write that down somewhere.
What radios should you use during an emergency? And you were talking about how you do not want to put Josh's call sign on the shirts because you don't want to misguide others. Oh, I think Scott originally suggested hello, my name is, with your call sign. And we didn't want people to feel weird wearing your call sign.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, in fact, their name is not.
Mm. Like he wanted some kind of customizable capability,
right? And I think we can get there. I'm working on the customizing.
You have a couple of irons in the fire in the merch area right now.
Yeah,
we don't need to spoil anything.
Yeah, I'm working on something that's going to roll out a lot of things, but it's just taking a lot of work on the back end for me. What if you incorporated a hello, my name is style label on a shirt, or maybe hello, my call sign is? Not a complete shirt idea, but could be incorporated with another design. Thanks for the content and all you do for the hobby.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, we could look at something personalized. I'm not sure how much people like putting their call sign on things.
There are people that do like that. They have, you know, custom vanity license plates.
Sure.
And stuff like that. You know, nothing against those people. They like that. That's cool. We'll think about it. I mean, we're kind of already going down that road with some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might not be hello, my name is, but, you know, something like that.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Customizable. Get your call sign on cool things.
We're going to hire a street artist that will make a custom tag, a throwy, if you will,
for a shirt. Oh, I thought you were going to talk about those old school airbrush t-shirts, you know, the ones with the weird airbrushed art on them. Was that just a California thing, or did all malls have that?
I think anywhere there was like a muscle car show, that's where that person was. And I'm assuming that person is still in business.
Do people still buy those?
I'm assuming that in Knott's Berry Farm.
Do they? I'm trying to think. I used to go to Knott's Berry Farm a lot. I can't remember if there's an airbrushed ye olden Western
ye
shop.
Ye olden airbrush guy? Yeehaw!
Is it next to the blacksmith? Okay.
He has Mule Merle that's got to run to keep the billows going to get the air to come out.
I don't think.
You don't remember Merle, the mule?
I don't think that's.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I remember Edison kissing a donkey. Is that who you're talking
about? Yeah, that's Merle. You got it.
Okay,
He's that's moved Edison. On to the kissing booth, apparently.
That's Edison's first kiss.
Great.
Just kidding.
He'll cherish it.
Thank you, Scott, for that shirt idea. Next one, I'm going to leave all identifiers off of this one. It's random thoughts and a merch idea. Good evening, Leia. I thoroughly enjoyed the podcast today. You and Josh keep it light and refreshing.
Well, thank you very much.
One, scouting was originally started to teach young men how to survive in the wilderness to prepare them for military service.
Yep. It was like Baden-Powell, right? Something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
indeed.
It's not that anymore. There's not a lot of scouts that end up moving into the military from my experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Here is your pocket knife and your Lee Enfield rifle.
Godspeed. You pay a lot of money for that experience now.
Yeah.
To be given the minimal supplies and dropped in the middle of nowhere with no guarantee of safety.
Right, right. Gonna sign a bunch of waivers.
Yes. Two, the movie was World War Z.
That's it. God.
What did we call it?
I don't know. Z Nation.
Z Nation is the TV show with the guy on the radio. And World War Z is the Brad Pitt movie.
World War Z is the Brad Pitt movie. By the way, still a much better book. Go read the book if you like zombie books.
3, having been in the Marines, we get challenge coins for units we served in or people we meet. Mm-hmm. How about a coin with Josh's call sign and the HRCC logo on one side and Leia the Land on the other?
Give Leia the Land.
Get Leia the Land.
Get Leia the Land on the other. I like it. Yes. We have long talked about a challenge coin.
Coins are tough.
It has been requested many times, mm-hmm. and it's not for lack of want. It is for lack of logistics.
Yes.
And they get really pricey.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's one of those, if somebody's going through the process of making a mold or a die and then has to put in the inking and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You're not one-offing a design, right? The way Leia does a lot of our shirts is that it's a digital design that gets printed.
Right.
They can print one, or they can print 100.
Mm-hmm.
The cost is not needed to be fronted up front. Right.
Right. And then it allows that design to be printed on whatever color.
Right. Tank tops, sweaters, you know, whatever.
But also whatever size.
Correct.
Right. So it's actually very inclusive that way versus, I mean, we did the ICOM t-shirt giveaway. And now we have a bunch of sizes left over that nobody wants.
Right. So you go buy an extra small or a triple X.
Right.
They will print it and no one has to hold the stock.
Right.
Versus challenge coins, it's like nobody's going to want a Ham Radio Crash Course coin. They're not going to stock them for us.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there will be some amount of people that may want them.
I don't know. Maybe Ham Radio outlet wants to sell some of your challenge coins.
Oh, that's funny.
Who knows?
That would be funny. Yeah, so it's always in our mind to do something like that, but it's more complicated.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if every YouTuber came out with a challenge coin?
Oh, it'd be.
And then you could collect them all?
Yeah, of course. These are all things that we have talked about within the YouTuber
group. It shouldn't just be the YouTubers. All of the iconic people in ham radio.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've got one for every person on Ham Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I mean, we can technically do something like that. Actually, you're giving me an idea. What if we all made like a 3D print?
Ooh.
Right? We make our own 3D print design, and then anybody can print them, do whatever they want with them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Somebody could be so industrious as to make the 3D print, make a reverse mold out of plaster of Paris, and then pour in some kind of metal.
Oh.
And make their own challenge coin.
That is smart.
Yeah. See what I'm doing there?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at those solutions.
Man. Good ideas, though. Thank you. This is Scott.
Okay. No, this is unnamed.
Oh, thanks, Scott.
What? I said unnamed. Scott was earlier. Scott was the first.
That's why I'm stuck on, because I didn't get another name. So
yes.
Scott now. Anonymous Scott. Thank you.
I want so badly
Scott
to correct you.
Yeah, don't correct me. That would be not funny.
I want so badly to correct you because that is my instinct.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I've got a lot of challenge coins, by the way. I've worked on a lot of different stuff that gets challenge coins.
Yes. Okay. Next email is FCC fees and final comment. I think we've been talking about FCC fees for 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Ronald Road. Dear Leia,
it better
and
be
your...
new or just delete the email right now. I want a new
and
argument.
And your color commenter.
Color commenter. Yes. Yeah, I'm the peanut gallery. I appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah. I really enjoy your podcast and color commentators YouTube videos. This is really funny because I think
this
last week
blowback.
I had said mm-hmm. there's no way for them to be more dismissive.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Right. For any of the emails to get more dismissive.
Well, thank you so much for what you've done here.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I think the last one was one of the listeners called you, but they still refer to you by Josh, I think.
Yes.
So now you have been stripped of your name.
Good. Yes.
Let's see if it shows up later down the... Yes.
Let's see.
So I really enjoy your podcast and color commentators YouTube videos.
Well, thank you for
watching. as a winner of one of the HRCC Prize Signal Stuff ham sticks. Thank you, guys.
Ah, see?
It works really well.
Excellent.
You commented in this week's live stream to the effect that with the new fees, the FCC should be able to step up enforcement. I think he's talking about the podcast. I had said, if you're going to take money, does that mean that as a result,
right,
they will be staffing
which
more?
They're not doing that.
Right. I think that we all need to correct our thinking on one aspect of the FCC fee. That is the thought that the FCC will now have more money to spend. That is untrue, and it's creating a lot more consternation within the ham radio ranks than necessary. The truth is that all fees collected by the FCC have to be deposited to the U.S. Treasury General Fund, and the FCC is not at liberty to spend them. Is that true?
Well, I don't know right now if the fees go in the general fund. It's possible they do. And so, well, also, it's possible that just because I don't understand how it all works, it may all have to go in the general fund and then get, like, allocated out as the yearly budget, like most, you know, things in the government work. I'm guessing it works that way. I'm way out of school in this one.
I don't know. Some government agencies have to run their budget in portion based off of their fees.
Sure.
Okay.
But he may continue.
Okay.
Don't delete the email yet.
Having worked several years in the government contract / finance, I understand that the only way the FCC actually receives additional funding is through agency-directed increases to the annual federal budget. Even if those fees get earmarked back to the FCC, not likely, it would take almost a year after enactment before they would receive any additional funding, i.e. money. So that is interesting.
Let's assume he's right.
I believe him.
So let's assume he's right.
It sounds like Ronald has the experience with government finance.
Sure. But let's take what he said. The FCC is funding itself via commercial licenses. That's where the money is coming from.
Okay.
Big money, commercial broadcast stations, commercial entities. That's where the big money comes from that keeps the FCC doing what it's doing. Ham radio is a pittance of a sum on the total scale of things.
Sure.
So there's two arguments you can make here. I think there's two justifiable arguments that ham should make and is the most clean. It's hard to battle somebody off of that. The first is that if we as hams pay the fees, then we now have a box to stand on when it comes time to yell about bands being sold. I like that.
Okay.
That was the only argument that made me somewhat veer off of my course of fee bad.
Okay.
The second is that by the FCC saying we must now charge you a fee, it means that the government, the FCC being the connective tissue to the government for hands.
Connective tissue.
You like that, right? Oh. I like that term. That they're basically saying that ham radio is no longer a service. And that it is a thing that you have to pay for to use. I don't like that. Ham radio has always been a service that has a hobby aspect, or should be considered that way from the point of view of the government. Because it is always the last line of defense when it comes to communication.
Or, as many people have brought up, the frequencies are there.
Right. You can't, again, there's no
You have provided Leia, nothing.
Leia's Frankenstein's monster size blade switch that turns the bands off that the FCC is control of. The atmosphere, the sun provides our ability to transmit.
Right.
Not the FCC.
You are essentially paying to have someone regulate something that is free.
Right. And I made this argument, and I'll say it again. The reason why licensing exists is so that people stay in their lane.
Right.
You're licensed to play in a certain frequency space. Either off frequency for a broadcast, you know, production level broadcast, commercial broadcast, or hams, a bunch of frequencies that most of them are not that in sought after.
It's kind of like property zoning.
Right.
Right? It's your house is over here. you want other houses around you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that noxious factory next door.
Exactly.
So now there is zoning
mm-hmm.
so that people are allowed to build their houses here and businesses are allowed to build their businesses over there.
Right.
And retail is master right. planned because, somewhere.
Yeah, if I was works. Just if I was just a Joe any guy and I got really into the manufacture of tallow.
Right.
And I started doing that in my backyard and I turned it into a tallow factory.
Why'd you go tallow instead of distilling whiskey or something?
Because tallow stinks when you render it.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh.
I see.
But if you were Josh, my husband, and you were going to pick up the manufacturing of anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. Could it be spirits?
Something smells good out here. Because that smells okay. But you see where I'm
yeah,
going with this.
Yeah,
so there's a many layer to the argument, the onion of the argument that is this discussion, which I think we've covered pretty well
right.
in the many facets of the ham radio crash course.
So in this scenario, mm-hmm. the licensing fee is essentially the permit you pay to the planning department and city council to determine whether or not you're allowed to do what you want with your land.
Well, it's really not about you.
Right,
The best thing you can think about is it's not really about you why licenses exist. It's to keep people from infringing upon you and what you're doing.
That's true. That's the other side to the coin.
Right. If you know, some commercial broadcast station that's 30 miles away says, we really like this frequency space that's smack dab in the middle of the ham bands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it was just free band, everybody do whatever they like, they would do whatever they like.
So it's interesting you bring that up because where we live...
Mm-hmm. There's a history of that, by the way. Ham radio history is rich with those kind of disagreements.
Ham radio, just pirating of bands.
Oh, yeah. It was the Wild West for bands.
Sure.
You could do whatever you wanted, pretty much.
We have a situation like that in that we purchased our house specifically because of where it was located and how the roads around us were permitted to be used.
Be honest. It was feng shui.
No. No.
It was.
But it was specifically.
The numbers on our address. It was that the sink is not directly opposed to the stove.
Yeah, no, that too, definitely.
It was that the door faced north.
Yes, yes. There
so
were those elements
let's
also.
Let's calm down with the it's close to business.
No. And also it was the location of the schools. But we had found another house,
mm-hmm.
but the road noise was too...
Oh, you're talking about literally how close we were to the freeway.
Right.
Yeah, it was much bigger house.
But
too.
In this scenario, mm-hmm. the roads near our house are not supposed to allow semi trucks.
Oh, yeah,
and
we're dealing with
now,
that right now.
Semi trucks are going despite the road signs.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm pissed.
Yes.
Yeah, I am angry every time. And I mean, not just me, but
it
everybody
is literally
else.
Shaking the house.
Yeah.
That's these big trucks. Big trucks.
And it's crazy laden. Because our street. Purposely narrows because the end
Didn't
of the block
about
is a
this
T.
Last week too. You are hot about this.
I am. I'm pissed. Yeah. But I mean it causes traffic jams on the
was
end
like
of the street.
A truck that got stuck at the end of the tree like last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I guess tree, if you're going to justify a ham radio license fee, that what we're talking about not letting somebody else infringe on my rights mm-hmm. as a property owner
right.
is completely valid. I'm down with that.
So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up the CB radio.
Okay.
In
and
the
then
backyard.
You're going to
no,
yell
I'm going to give
them.
You the radio.
And I'm going to yell at
you
them.
You yell at them.
Even better.
Because you're
CBs, this is amazing.
You can use it.
I'm so excited right now.
I've got the antenna in the garage, but I'll set it up like on the thing outside.
I'm just kidding. I'm not really going to yell at anybody, but I think they just don't know. And I'm actually asking my friends mm-hmm. at City Council to make the road signs more clear
mm-hmm.
off the freeway exit so that...
Well, this is CB we're talking about, so you can't just be like, excuse me.
Okay.
I think you're on the wrong road.
I don't want to be a Karen about anything. I mean, I'm angry, but I understand they're doing a job.
Right. No.
I think that the city has done a poor job of informing.
Correct. It's not the trucker's fault.
Exactly.
Really. And they get used to a route, and then that's the route they take. I get it. I'm not. Right. I don't think anybody's shaming truckers here. We're
absolutely
basically
not, because I really appreciate everything they're doing.
Of course.
But this is a failure on the
city's
part.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. But I am really upset that there's not better enforcement and clear indications, because roads actually have to be made to allow heavy trucks to drive on.
Right.
So all that's happening is that those roads are wearing down, and they are relatively newly paved too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all right,
right.
I'm done with that.
You're
saltiness.
Done?
No, there's more to this email.
Oh, and thank you.
Sorry
Wes.
For that.
Other truckers in the Ham Radio Crash Course, thank you.
Yes. Thank you, all truckers.
But our truckers specifically. Thank you for trucking whatever you're trucking. I just assume you're trucking radios.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
How many radios do you think are being sold?
Why do you think they're rolling around our home, Leia?
So what you're saying is that I shouldn't be going to city council.
I'm like, Leia, shut up, man. Shut up.
I'm getting the whole neighborhood riled up to storm City Hall over this.
Down the street. She's home. She's home all the time now because of COVID. We had a really sweet deal, guys. Pack it up.
They start enforcing and pulling over trucks to find out where they're going. They're like, oh, no, we're delivering to that house. So ironic.
Literally the house of the woman who's complaining to City Hall. What a tangled web we weave.
Okay. I believe that it is important that ham radio operators understand this fact. And truthfully, the FCC is only correcting their process to follow the rules provided by congressional regulation of them.
Well, they were required to because of that something Dawes Act or something like that from the 80s or 90s that they have been pushing off for a long time. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I get how processes work. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that I can't be upset about it.
Sure.
And voice my opinion and explain why I think there's a better way. I will continue doing that.
Okay. The above detail is also contained in the notice of proposed rulemaking that the FCC issued.
Of course.
But you almost have to be a lawyer to understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
Please help correct this misconception so that amateur radio operators are not expecting the impossible. I know none of us wanted this, but the FCC is not the bad guy here. Talk to your congressional representatives to get it changed.
Yeah, well, that's the best thing you could do, right? Is talk to your local representatives and really talk to the local representatives. And try and reinstill the case of why amateur radio is good for emergencies. It may not be good for the first responders that may already have systems in place, like FirstNet or whatever, that they have at their disposal. It's good for your citizens. It's good for when there's nothing else, that there's a ham, multiple hams that can move traffic around, goodwill messages, make sure people are okay at the local level. That's the point we should be saying. That is what, and again, it goes back to, if we're going to get treated the same as T-Mobile and AT&T and Verizon or whatever, as terms of like, oh, you're just another user. We're not in it for the business of it.
Well, you're not even allowed to use.
Right.
Unless it's incidental to educational purposes.
Right. So now, so that's what I'll petition them for. It's like, hey, if you want to make a contact with me, it's $3. I would never do that.
Never.
I'm kidding.
Never.
But that's the argument, right? Is now we're getting treated the same as though it's like a business entity, which it's not.
Right.
It used to be considered a service. So I would argue that the government, by fault of our own as hams, has lost that point somewhere.
Sure.
Who's to blame? Probably not the topic of this podcast.
Okay.
But a good topic nonetheless.
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. W4ORH, Ron. Thank you, Ron. That is a very good point. I hope this discussion didn't derail your point too much.
Now to leave the email.
No.
I'm just kidding, Ron. Good work. And thank you for shedding some light on the general fund fee. So if that's really the case, that's not surprising, but okay.
Okay. The next email. that I have been very excited to read to you.
Before we go any further, I know how a noise blanker works. I was very tired.
It's too late.
It's too late.
Too late for that.
Is it Sterling?
No. VHF propagation opening alerts.
Oh, I know who this one is from. Yes.
This is from Adam Kimberly.
There it is. K6ARK.
Okay, and this is who we were talking about, the genius engineer.
He does have a really... I have thoughts on his recommendation, by the way.
Just
continue.
Just
go ahead, Leah.
Let me
go
just... Ahead. Okay. Go ahead. But I want to give Adam a huge shout out because his video production is top notch.
Okay,
if you are sleeping on Adam's
you
videos...
You are sleeping on Adam's
yes.
videos. You should go. K6ARK. Just Google K6ARK.
He is so watchable.
Very much so. He's personable.
Yes.
Amazing beard.
Yeah. Oh, best beard in ham radio, in fact.
Best beard in ham radio. Voted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes amazing antennas. Makes amazing radios. Radios that you could literally eat.
What?
Like, swallow them. They're so small.
But they're not digestible. He's not making them out of, like, red vines and...
Oh, like, and eat. Okay, yeah, in that sense.
It's not edible.
It's not popping, cooking ham radio.
What? Gummy radios.
It just transmits on CW. Adam's on the mountain with a gummy CW key trying to hammer out.
Adam's listening to this right now going, challenge accepted.
Yeah, I don't. I've made a gummy CV radio or CW radio today. And when I'm done, I'm going to eat it. Continue okay. with your email. Thank you.
Leia, always enjoy listening to your podcast. And your intern, Josh, is really growing into his role.
Yes. Intern, edit the podcast and post it.
On your last show, you had a question about how to know when certain bands are open. This is especially useful for VHF bands where propagation openings are random and inconsistent. For example, 6 meters relies heavily on sporadic E propagation,
yeah.
And the longer distance 2-meter propagation can be enhanced by tropospheric ducting. Mm-hmm. The DXMaps.com website has a great feature that allows users to sign up for email alerts when these bands may be open. The website parses spots on the bands you choose with parameters you set and notifies you accordingly. He gives the website, which we'll put in the show notes.
But it's literally dxmaps.com.
Uh-huh, but also /spots/alerts.
Mm-hmm. But you can navigate to that off of the main site.
I have been using it for a few years now, and it works quite well. The DX Maps website also has real-time maps for HF bands as well, and can be very useful to see what bands are open at any given time. To predict the best band and time of day for more predictable F-layer propagation, you can go to www.voacap.com. This is an incredibly...
VoaCap,
okay. This is an incredibly useful tool. It allows you to plug in 2 station locations,
yeah,
define antennas at each station, adjust transmit power, mode, and local noise levels, and it will predict which band will be best and the likelihood of successful contact. I use this tool to find the optimum band and mode to successfully make an SSB contact with Hayden, VK7HH, at his home station while I was on a SOTA summit. That's like shooting fish in a barrel. What is it?
Leia's calling you a cheater, Adam.
No.
Suck it.
What was it that DJ Flula used to say? The like, guy who used to try to figure out American idioms.
Yeah.
You get a barrel.
You make shoots of
the fish.
It's like no more barrel. You shoot through your barrel.
Anyway, I hope that helps some other hams to make more contacts on HF and VHF, especially on the magic band 6 meters. 73, Adam 6, K6ARK.
Yes, and it's called magic because generally it sucks. But when it opens, it's like magical.
Right.
That's really what that means.
It's like platform 9.5, right?
Nine and three quarters.
I have literally...
That's where half of your body goes into Hogwarts, and the other half is just bludgeoned by brick.
I have literally thrown a Harry Potter birthday party. You did. With the brick wall and everything. And I can't believe I forgot that. I made wands
based off of the characters that we were dressed as.
And the kids broke them.
For you.
Yes. And I hung candles on fishing lines.
I think we went as people that died in that movie. Good work.
Yes, because I was Tonks.
And I was Lupin.
Poor Teddy. Poor Teddy.
Yes. I take it back. I don't have anything against what Adam said. I forgot that those are the links. And those are good. I still argue that it, for me, now, this is, okay, I take it back a little bit. I think when you're using Whisper, you're using your station to determine like where your station is getting out based on your antenna. I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like you're using your radio, right? I think that's fun. But yes, this system will work too.
Yeah, makes it easier.
Yeah.
Instead of fiddling around with everything.
Lots of options, it's always good.
Trying to figure out.
No, but that's half of what hams do. We just fiddle around with knobs.
From the man who loves...
The British
from the man who loves FT8. From the man who loves FT8. That's part of the fun, right?
We fiddle around with knobs. The British people are just losing it.
You're a knob.
And you get the reference.
The next email is titled Foreign Amateur Radio Licenses from Matt Churchill.
Oh, yes. Leia's favorite topic.
To Leia and whom it may concern.
Good. Yeah. You got to say that so that if you gave the title wrong and you applied for the job, someone will apply or reply, hopefully.
Yeah.
Good. Nicely done.
I like the idea of finding out about the regulatory agencies from other countries and the levels of licensing and how it works. I could see you having either interviews with other amateurs from other countries or ask some of the other YouTubers and podcasters to answer a set of questions and play them in series on your channel. Callum from DX Commander seems like he would be a good sport about it. And in Australia, there's Ono VK6 FLAB. That's a long call sign.
Leia, you're VK6 already being salty. You don't flab. Have a call sign. Flap?
Flab.
Oh, flab. Nice.
Who does a podcast and talks regularly about Australian licensing and the regulatory agency there? Mm. We learned something interesting about Australia's licensing on the After Chat.
Yeah, they're all salty about it and they pay too much money.
No, but that you can transmit so many times before having to get a license so you can try it out before going to take your test or something.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Try before
it's
you
like
buy.
Renting a car or checking a car out before you buy it.
But it's really interesting how much it varies by country, what you are allowed to do, and how some countries' limits are based on power output rather than frequency space, right? I'm sure it would be easy to find a Canadian YouTuber to fill in the gaps there.
By the way, so all of those major countries, I've got a YouTuber that call up. Pocket YouTuber, we'll call him to hop in there.
Pocket YouTubers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also New Zealand.
Tubers.
New Zealand and Australia have a fun little titter-tat over which one has the best license. I think New Zealand's winning handedly.
The Kiwis?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, I believe that was the discussion, actually, is that they've got the try before you buy set up.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And they've got like a... Anyway, keep going. I don't want to dive too much into it because it is actually an interesting video, probably.
We'll You're see. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, that's a video I would watch.
We'll do a live stream out of it. I'll make a note.
I don't know, though, because this isn't a live stream hard for some people in other areas of the country to show up for.
That's their problem.
Other areas of the world, not the country.
That's right, Leah. We're going to fly them to the United States, and then we only have to contend with 3 hours of time difference. None of that Hawaii stuff for us.
You mentioned Japan, and I would love to hear about Japan as well. There was a woman recently appointed or elected to regional coordinator for the ARRL who is a licensed amateur in Japan as well as the U.S. Mm. Leia, every week that goes by that you don't pass the technician's test, Gordo is shaking his head.
Wow.
Just like Lee Trevino in Happy Gilmore.
Wow. Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
Oh my God. I could just see Gordon West's happy face just not happy anymore. And it makes me so sad.
It took Gordon West, guys. Okay, keep going.
73, Matt Churchill, KJ7, SBO.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
SBO.
It's not the same as flab, though. That's a good one.
Flab, man. That's a heavy CW load.
The next email is titled Show Idea from David Mason.
Yeah. All right, David. Yeah. By the way, envelopes in the mail, David.
This is just addressed to me. It doesn't even, okay.
I take back my insight. Next
Leia, good podcast this week.
Good.
Your email parts of the show is taking over. So as a featured guest, I have a good idea or two. Now he is the guest. David is the guest, you see.
I'm not even. Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to be careful about the statements we make now. Because I said you couldn't, they couldn't dismiss you anymore.
I'm not even on the show anymore.
I have noticed that on the weekly YouTube live stream, you are helping some folks out by answering some ham-related questions in the chat. So obviously, this proves you are totally retaining this information. On the next podcast, you should be wrapping up your practice test. After we see how you did, not that great, we can be honest. I'm not saying that. David's saying that. And I agree with you, David.
I don't think she's
That's
hiding
an astute
the fact.
Observation.
She's like, no, I'm doing great.
We go back and find 10 questions you missed. Then Josh has a lesson for you on each of those questions, or just discusses them so that you can retain that for next time. I know you don't have a whole lot of extra time to study, but teaching someone else is the best way to retain practical knowledge. If you are just trying to memorize the correct answers, you just need to see the correct answer to each and not focus on the wrong. But we don't want you to memorize answers. We want you to know what you're talking about. Kind of like how Josh occasionally does. There you go. David mentions you. Just as somebody who occasionally knows.
Occasionally.
T-shirt idea. What's happening? Like power watts. What's happening?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Okay. With a big meter image full scale. Any meter will do, but an old analog looking needle meter would look really cool.
Yeah, that would.
Maybe two designs, one with analog and one digital. I'll have more merch ideas, but I'll save them for my next weekly appearance on the podcast.
Thank you, guest David Mason.
I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not sure I know what a digital meter looks like.
I mean, I can show you.
What. Okay. 73 WA4DAV, Dave, a.k.a. Jeeper Creeper.
Mm-mm. So your research is go to the ham shack and look at a digital readout, is what you're saying.
Thank you,
that
David.
That could take months.
Whenever David writes in, I think, oh, I'll see him on Saturday. So I'll see you on Saturday, Dave.
Yeah, see you on Saturday.
Okay. The next email.
No, here we go. With a face like that, titled, it's got to be Sterling.
No.
Oh, okay.
Noise blinker and notch filter.
Yes, thank you. Okay, good.
Sometimes I wonder if I should be reading these more angrily.
Read them like they're a YouTube comment. Yeah. Just screaming. Just let me know so I can dial back the gain on the...
Caps. All caps.
All caps. All the time.
I'm just kidding. This is fine. This is from Chris Salthouse. Leia, I think I might be able to provide a clearer explanation to the question I heard you trying to answer about ignition noise and a noise blanker. The key idea here is that the signals are very short in time, are very wide in frequency, and vice versa. It might help to think of a bell. The bell with a very pure tone will ring for a long time after it is hit. But if you have a noise source that is at a single frequency, you can use a notch filter. That is a filter that notches out that frequency. Ignition noise is caused by the spark igniting the fuel air mixture. This all happens in a very short period of time. During that time, it covers a lot of frequencies, so a notch filter won't help very much. A noise blanker reduces the gain of the radio during that short period of time so that you don't hear the noise on your radio.
Did that help you, Leah?
You know, that really requires me to now know about cars. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Noise blanker, got it. Yes, and notch filter won't work because
yeah, it's not a single spur. The yeah. Notches are okay. Big spurs that you're trying to knock
got
out.
Got it.
I got it.
The next email is from Michael Olivier.
Why are you looking at me? Oh, you're reading
Olivier?
It.
Okay. I think it's Olivier.
Good.
I think that's the... Okay. Hello. I love the license level stickers. I would love if you sold pins. Any plans to sell lapel pins? I'm new to radio and I'm learning so much from your video. So thank you, Michael. So I will say this. I am trying to work with smaller makers because, you know, help small businesses. And I think there might be a way to get pins produced.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to be cost efficient. I don't want you guys to look at a pin and go, wow, you guys are totally out of line.
Right. Because again, we go back to the, are we going to buy them and store them and then ship them? Which is likely not going to happen.
Not if anybody wants them in any timely manner.
Right. We're just too busy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a tricky game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, it's not, the store doesn't, how do I, it's a hobby store.
Right.
So yeah, that's tough. But thank you, Michael. I will see what I can do about it. And maybe I just work something out and throw it up there. And even if the price is a bit high, those who really want it.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess maybe
I'm being too conservative about price points.
Maybe.
Like, maybe I'm being too sensitive about it. Maybe because, I don't know. Okay, so I will, that's a lot of requests for pins, so I'm feeling the pressure to let go of whatever my...
Pin pressure.
Whatever my reservations are about it.
Sure.
Yeah. So thank you, Michael. You may have been what tipped it over
to
Pin Town.
The last pin pressure.
Yeah. Okay, next one is titled Podcast Review from Frederick Strickland. Hello, Leia, and you too, Josh.
Thank you. It's Sunday. Thank you.
Your face is so surprised.
Wow.
The appreciation just beaming. Such a...
I'm so glad you did this.
It's Sunday, and I just finished watching the recording of the latest HRCC live stream, Wushun Mate, and the second installment of Ham Nation. By the way, that seems like a very nice radio with great features.
I think so. For the price, too, especially.
You did not want to like that radio.
I thought it was not going to be as good as it was.
And the more you used it, the mm-hmm. more you were exclaiming, I don't think this is a bad radio. Oh, I think this might actually be a good radio.
Yeah. Legit. I was like, this is not going to be good. It was the same thing with like the Abri antenna. I was like, this is going to be garbage.
Can you put an Abri on a Wooshan?
I think so, yeah.
Well, that sounds like that would be the Josh was wrong build. No.
Yeah, I mean, he used the signal
That's going to be my first set.
I want the orange radio with an Abri. You can do like a little montage, like where somebody goes like gets a makeover, but it's a radio makeover. Yeah. I mean, walk into my office where we've got all the HTs set up and you're like, it's like John Wick where he's getting weapons and stuff. Yeah. But it's radios.
I just don't know how one man shoots so many guns in such quick succession handguns.
It's very impressive. And deflects bullets with his sport coat.
Yes. Yeah.
In the last movie. That was crazy.
Which is very bizarre because Keanu Reeves, from what I understand, is a very peaceful man.
Yes. I mean, I saw the documentary Bill and Ted's
Excellent
and Bogus. Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey. But yes.
I think you watched all of those with the kids, right?
I did. They loved them. They loved it. They thought Napoleon Bonaparte in the first one was hilarious, which he was.
I don't remember the movies. I'm sure
I'm not surprised you. I'm not surprised you don't remember.
Is it so? It's a history lesson. You show the kids a history lesson. Oh, that's good. I really like it when you work on education.
It was all history all the time.
Wonderful.
With me, all the time.
I'm so excited to see what they learn about Napoleon. I'm going to ask them tomorrow.
Yes. He likes ice cream. A lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because that was a thing.
And water slides. So much.
Okay, now I think I have to go back and watch Bill and Ted's.
Particularly if the water park is called the Waterloo.
Oh my God. Wow. So, okay. All right.
Bit of foreshadowing for the mm-hmm. adults there. Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
History foreshadowing.
Okay. I really enjoy everything HRCC, especially the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
I usually listen during my 15-minute trips to work and back, even at weekday evenings, your comedic banter combined with Josh's subject matter information, as well as the beverage reviews, make your podcast entertaining, fun, and informative. Oh, that's so nice.
That is very nice.
That's such a nice description of the podcast.
That is literally the following segments that you can expect to hear.
I have been a licensed amateur since 1996. I held my technician ticket for a long time, and about 3 years ago, I got my general ticket.
Hey, congratulations.
In many ways, I'm still a newbie. For example, I have never been on HF.
That happens a lot. That's a byproduct of the technician license.
I always thought that HF was where it was at.
It is where it's at. But you bar it off to everybody in the form of the technician to general upgrade.
Huh.
And if you don't have enough people that are willing to show other people what HF is like, then they don't get an experience for it. They don't know why they need to upgrade.
But Fred has been a general for 3 years.
No, he said he was a technician many years since 96 and just recently upgraded.
He said about 3 years ago, I got my general ticket.
Okay.
Well, now I'm interested in getting my technician and just staying there for a while. If the podcast is any indication of how long it takes for me to get licensed.
Right.
I am now semi-retired, and HRCC, along with many other YouTubers, have lit a fire under my butt, and I am slowly building my station.
Very good.
I'm interested in so many aspects of the hobby. Building antennas is one of them. In your unique ways, you're bringing great things to this hobby, and I, for one, love it. Don't stop.
Thank you.
That is so kind.
It's very kind.
73 Fred KF3 EMS. That's a pretty cool EMS.
Yeah, EMS.
Yeah,
good.
That's good.
Nicely done, Fred.
That's good. The next. The next email is titled January 22nd Podcast from Douglas V.
Okay.
Oh, this was emailed to you too, so I think you know what this says. When you said Shagu, I immediately my mind went to the Scooby-Doo theme song and Shaggy. Leia isn't the only wife that wants to converse with an adult after all day with the kids. This is a very common problem.
Yes.
Across many a COVID-impacted home.
Right.
Just wives and husbands who are staying at home for these virtual learning kids.
Right. This is how Nuggets After Dark got started.
It's also how all the Peloton groups got started. Mm-hmm. GameStop.
You know,
600% gain on GameStop. No, that was not COVID. That was a subreddit.
Yeah, Wall Street Bets.
Yeah, are they shut down?
No, it's back.
Wow, and now they're gonna bump up Blockbuster.
I think that was literally their next target was Blockbuster.
I think they had AMC.
That's crazy.
Build-A-Bear.
Oh my god.
It just their list, unfortunately, just made all of the companies on the list look like losers. So long term,
those are
probably not good buys.
Right. Well, I can show you a video after this. Wall Street Bets is like, oh my god, there is some very funny stories out of Wall Street Bets about how they use like they all use like Robinhood.
Oh, that is not a good brokerage.
Apparently, though, that they had some bugs in the system.
No, Robinhood?
That allowed you to, like, highly leverage, like, beyond any reasonable factor, leverage your position.
Oh, so on margin? But,
super margin. Okay. Like multiples of margin allowed them to go in with these crazy situations. And some guy did, it was like a put and take scheme where you're like, selling it to yourself.
What?
And it made like no money, but because they had no trade fees, the person was doing like a buck a trade. So he just did like 40,000 trades.
Why?
So he got $40,000.
Oh.
Yeah. It's some really weird setup that he had. He wasn't selling it to himself. He was buying, but then immediately selling or something along those lines. And he was pulling out. It's like the Office Space thing with the we take the rounded cents and we put it into another account and it just keeps accruing.
Okay, gotcha.
And then we pull it out.
Yes.
So
yes.
He was just cashing out these like bits of a trade, and then made like a Python script or something to just do it tens of thousands of times.
Oh my god.
They put a kibosh on that.
Sure.
And just lots of stuff like that. It's a really funny YouTube video. It's like 12 minutes.
So what was hilarious to me is when I first heard about the GameStop stick it to the hedge fund.
Yeah, the shorters. Don't short my nostalgia.
It was that these Wall Street Bets guys were the real deal. These guys are known to lose 50 grand in a day.
Oh, they've lost more than 50 grand in a day.
And I just thought to myself, in what bizarro universe are we saying that legit investors are the ones who are willing to lose $50,000 a day?
Kind of like when you're in the military and you get a Purple Heart. If you were battlefield wounded, like, dude, that's legit.
Yeah.
This guy's a badass. And you're like, well.
They lost $50,000 each and then decided to go back.
It's a level of badassery.
It was an indication that they were willing to lose each another $50,000.
They're a maverick. You just don't know what they're capable of.
They're not even about the money. A lot of them are now multimillionaires, though.
Because they bought super early.
That long term, just somebody had asked me about the impacts of that. And for me personally, I think that that level of unpredictability in the market that impacts funds in general, they think they're sticking it to hedge funds, right? But you have to consider that mutual funds, all funds are managed by mm-hmm. investors.
Right.
And a lot of times they all kind of follow each other, right? Because they're watching volume indicators.
Right.
So if very trusted funds end up doing something, everybody's kind of paying attention.
Right.
So if you're screwing over these hedge funds, you have to consider also that you may be screwing over other people's retirement funds.
But
for like mutual funds and
but those are the funds that were shorting the stock.
Sure. That's a valid investment strategy.
I'm not saying it's not. I just don't know how many mutual funds were in shorting the stock. And to what level that they were deep in that short game.
Well, I'm going to say this right now.
It's not Mima and Papa's retirement fund.
Sure. And
that's not a stable way to build
the safest bet is really doing an index fund. So nobody's really managing it.
You're not shorting it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not shorting an index fund.
But you don't know. You don't know what people do and what funds are available to them. And there's just a lot of funds out there.
Sure. I am nonplussed by the whole thing.
But that level of unpredictability in the market.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to touch it. The sensible traders are not going to touch it.
Right. But what you're going to see
chaos
is that.
Chaos traders will. But that chaos traders the guys that were writing penny stocks are coming out of the market to like go get in on the GameStop game.
But what's going to happen is that it's not everybody, they're telling people, you've got to keep the stock price high, keep buying it to mm-hmm. keep the stock price high until the call,
sure.
the call date, right? Well, everybody who's getting in on the tail of end of everything is going to get screwed.
I mean,
because they will
something.
Have bought at whatever, 300, 600, whatever it's
well,
at.
Well, the last people holding a ticket will, sure, but.
Right.
Oh, okay, but that's like every stock. That's not like, oh, I'm so surprised.
But it's never actually going to recover.
No.
If you invest values-based, there's either value-based or technical analysis-based, there is a rhyme and reason to the reason you've chosen these stocks.
Correct.
And now the stock has hit from $40 over $600. You're
it's
never
not over $600.
Yes. I think it was
GameStop?
Like, I think it was
But it topped out like 300.
Oh, maybe 300. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
That's
whatever the top is, right. It's never getting back there because it was never worth that.
Because they don't have a business model to achieve that level. It
right.
It's propped up. It's an inflated number. It does not exist based off of the actual value that they bring to the market.
So the people who started this mm-hmm. made millions. The hedge funds will pay, but also the people who will pay are the people who got in on it at 600.
So I'm not trying to play devil's advocate here, but there are many instances of things like happening just like this in the stock market. The only difference is that this came out of Reddit. It was a bunch of trolls that did it.
Right.
Right. It's not a new, they didn't come up with a new scheme. They just pumped up another stock that was not worth being pumped up.
Right. It's a pump and hold.
Yeah, it's a weird game they're playing. What was the line?
That's
dangerous move, Cotton. Let's see how it works out or something like that. Somebody said on one of the videos or podcasts.
So if anybody's listening
to this. No,
bold
move, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out.
I want to know if anybody actually partook in this. In the pump and hold scheme and how you did.
How'd that turn out?
I want to know. I don't want to hear from the people who were like, I made $25 million today.
I bought them for nothing. And I sold it a day later.
So, yeah, I want to hear. Please let me know.
Yeah, what are they going to do
and
with the
do
money?
Do not take this as an endorsement to go.
Don't
and
go buy the GameStop. Stock.
Or AMC that
or
whose
Krikorian
business,
or whatever.
Or any business that hasn't been allowed to be open for what is an entire fiscal year.
Yeah, don't go buy Blockbuster. Don't do that. Yeah. Crazy. Okay. Well, thank you for watching or listening to the stock market crash course.
On TikTok, it's called Stonks.
That's a meme. Wow, Leia.
Stonks.
I just heard of this. It's a thing. It says stonks. I don't get it. But that's what the kids are calling it.
Oh my God. Am I old?
That's a meme. It's the like NPC guy and he's got his arms and then like the arrows going up.
I see. Yes. Okay.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't
about.
Know what you're talking about. When on road trips, I take a ham radio and a CB. It seems to help keep me alert. While going through Atlanta, it helped de-stress me while having a simplex contact on 2 meters and dealing with traffic and confusion of the Atlanta freeways.
Awesome.
I'm looking...
Bring that to LA.
I'm looking at getting an FT-991, hopefully in the next month. Is that the Russian radio?
No.
No.
It's what? The Yaesu.
Oh, that's a 599, right?
Yeah. TX-500.
Okay. Well, good luck with your FT-991.
That might not be the best car portable, but yeah, it's a good radio. And it Douglas does VHF, UHF, and HF.
Excellent. Douglas is testing for his general in February, so good luck to you,
good
Douglas.
Good luck, Douglas.
Okay. Oh, this says to not read it on the podcast. I'm going to move on.
Whoa. Hold on.
Last email.
Last email.
Yeah. What?
Okay. I'm waiting.
I don't think there's one from Sterling. I know you were really excited.
I thought there was one from Sterling. I thought he said he was going to email. Okay, never mind. Fine.
Unless
Sterling.
Did I miss Fine. It? Sterling, if I miss your email, I'm sorry. It's not here.
I don't know that he did.
Okay. This is a most excellent title. Are you ready?
Yes.
The best, most fun ham radio podcast ever.
Okay, take this email.
With your
put it on the iTunes comment, and we'll read it there.
With your host, Josh Nass.
I'm just kidding. What?
I'm just kidding. It doesn't say anything.
No?
About you yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is from Daniel Wynn. Hello, Leia.
Oh, yes.
I got licensed last year, early in COVID times, and upgraded to general in October. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thanks in part to your apprentice hosts.
Excellent. YouTube.
I just wanted to reach out and say thank you guys for all you do to help educate us unexperienced hams. My wife shares your love for touch lamps and a mild disdain for antennas on the roof, even theoretical ones in the future. She says no towers. You know what? I'm with your wife. Have her shoot me an email. We can
have her send me an email and I'll read that on the show.
However, she is very supportive of me in the hobby, which is awesome. I am slowly convincing her that she should get her tech license, much like Josh is with you. Well, you know what, Daniel?
You know what we say.
The secret is start a podcast.
Start a podcast. make her sit there.
You know, actually, it turns out the secret is have Gordon West send her.
That's the secret, guys. We will talk about that shortly.
As to a recent email you got commenting on the use of vapes on the podcast, I realized that it was bothering me too, almost like nails on chalkboard type feeling. I figured it was just me and would soldier on and get over it. But since someone else emailed in, I felt I could too. You absolutely can. Thank you for that feedback.
I don't think we're going to change, but thank you for your feedback. Leia literally took a vape hit and covered the mic with her hand while she did it. Hit's the wrong word. It's nicotine, but...
Yeah. You guys always do a fantastic job of being down to earth and real with the topics you discuss. Keep up the great work. Sorry for the long email. Oh, Daniel, that's not a long email.
Oh, Daniel.
Thank you very much for the email, though, Daniel. And he says 73 KJ7NUY.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Very much appreciate that. Okay.
That's it. Emails.
All right. Well, thank you for
it's
the emails.
It's going to be a short podcast.
We're already past an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. Just kidding.
So thank you, everybody, for the emails. You can email Leia at hamtactical.com. Again, the home of our merch store. Check that out. If you do supply a merch idea that we like and we end up producing, you will get the first issue of it or whatever it is. So appreciate that. And again, reminder on the Apple side of the house for the podcast. If you do rate and comment over there, we do appreciate it. It is just like if you subscribe and like a YouTube video. It helps rank it in the algorithm and get us put in front of other people. So we really appreciate it. So thank you for that. Well, Leia, we have a beverage that we are drinking. This is the Bellicosa Exquisite Wines of Distinction.
Wow, that sounds exquisite and distinctive.
This is the Cabernet Sauvignon. It's an expertly crafted artisan wine. It is 14.2% by volume. I picked this up today from a restaurant in Cerritos. Leia ordered takeout. It is what Leia refers to as the only white tablecloth restaurant in Cerritos. It's called Art Cafe.
Cerritos has a lot of restaurants. I mean, we are a food destination.
And a lot of Asian restaurants.
Yes.
This is a proper-ish white tablecloth American kind of cuisine.
I think it's fusion, actually.
It is now.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it started out that
way.
It did?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty good restaurant. It was obviously better when it was open. They've had to change their menu significantly. And you know it's fancy because it's not Art Alfa Romeo Tango. It is Alfa Romeo Tango Echo.
With an accent, right?
With an accent. An umlaut. Or an umlaut. I don't know what that is. The little dash. It's good. Do you like the wine? I think I drank most of the bottle already.
It's really drinkable.
Yeah, it's totally drinkable. The first taste of it was, I don't know if many people drink wines a lot that are listening to us. If you ever do end up going to like a wine tasting in the future or you drink wine in the future, don't give your thoughts on the first sip.
Right.
Take two sips. Take two sips. And on the second sip, sloshing it around is the wrong word in your mouth. It's like you want to pull air into your mouth bathe the wine.
Oh, you're
in
giving
air.
Tasting tips.
I don't know. Because people commented on like, oh, you're drinking wine today? Or like on the live stream, they did that. Oh, you're drinking wine today. It's like, well, yeah, I like wine too. That seems to open it up enough for you to get some of the flavors out of it. Mm-hmm. And this actually has like a pretty strong, like, kind of a raisiny, currant-y kind of taste to it. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It actually tastes like black cherries a little bit.
A little bit of black cherries, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's really helpful for...
Yeah. Yeah, so if you find Exquisite Wines of Distinction, Bellicosa.
I think that's how you know it's a cheap wine, actually.
Yeah.
All of the descriptors to make it sound more expensive.
It's cool, cool wine. I'm super cool, dog. Cool wine, check me out. Cabernet Sauvignon, cool yawn. Yes. But I did drink.
Trust us, we're delicious.
Trust us, we're delicious. No refunsies. It was good though. I liked it. Okay, Leia. So we're diving in. It's time for questions. Do you have something to say?
I'm on 31 of 35,
mm-hmm.
and I am taking the test on the podcast on ham test prep.
Traditionally, though, you've been using the...
But I started studying this week.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
And I almost didn't want to say that because I still don't know how well I'm going to do.
I think the reason she's saying it is we're probably going to pass this test today and you're probably going to fail
I'm definitely going to fail.
But is there a but?
But today I took a practice test and I got a 31 out of 35.
Yes.
And yesterday I took one and I got a 29 out of 35.
What is the percentage of that?
I don't know. It just said pass.
It's over 75% though, right?
To pass, right?
No. I mean, based on your ratios, that's over 75%.
Okay, yeah.
So that means you need to go take the test. That's the hammer to crash course rule.
No.
Yeah.
No. No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Once you start passing 75%, let's go take that test.
It's only two tests, man.
You're ready, man. You're ready. I got people champing at the bit.
I actually got an Instagram message today because I posted that I passed a practice exam. And you know what? Thank you, everybody who emoticoned and messaged me, because everybody was so excited. And I felt the need to respond to everybody who sent me a message that it was a practice test. And I noted that.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. People have been following along, waiting with bated breath to hear. And I know everybody's doing it in their head. They're like, oh, she's failed. She's failed too many.
She's not going to do it
this time. I'm going to have to listen for another month for her to pass a damn practice test.
So here's the thing. I've got to pass a practice test on the podcast before I will test.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Hot take. All right. All right. Here we go.
All right. So that being said, somebody said you should just go take the test.
Yes.
It's one practice.
Yes.
One practice exam. And I said, I don't think Josh would want me to do that.
Josh because wants her to do that.
Because he would be embarrassed by my failure.
You don't know what I'm planning.
What?
You don't know what I'm planning.
Okay, so let's set up a ground rule here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, if I pass the test, need a gift of a new antenna in mm-hmm. any way.
Okay.
I don't need a new radio in any mm-hmm. way.
How about we...
And you're not putting ham equipment in my office.
It's already there.
No.
I don't even know what you're...
My plan...
You obviously don't look under your desk.
...is to get my license mm-hmm. and then just use all of your stuff.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But you also don't look under your desk.
The only thing under my desk is a letter board.
No, I mean and, like right up against it, like bolted underneath it.
Why would you do that?
Well, there's radios that the body of it bolts underneath it. And then you don't know it's there until you
pass the test.
You conveniently put a little box on top of it that controls it.
Okay. And I'm already nervous about this right now because this is a question.
We built it up too much.
Because this is 31 of 35 and mm-hmm. I've never seen this question before.
Oh, man. Oh, snap.
So that's not great.
You mean you passed one practice test.
Yeah.
You've seen all the questions at this point.
What is the purpose of a safety wire going through a turnbuckle used to tension guy lines? A, secure the guy if the turnbuckle breaks. B, prevent loosening of the guy line from vibration. C, prevent theft or vandalism. D, deter unauthorized climbing of the tower.
I don't normally say something, but you know the answer to this.
It's B, preventing the loosening of the guy line from vibration? Your face is... Well, I thought it might be secure the guy if the turnbuckle breaks.
What is the default for all the questions that relate to safety?
Security. What? I don't know what a guy line is.
It's a very... Actually, it's an apprenticeship.
Okay.
You must be named Guy.
Is it
D? You must
D?
Be named Guy.
B. I said it was B, and then you gave me this look.
Did you pick it?
I did. You talked me out of the right answer.
What did I didn't say anything about the wrong answer.
I said B,
the right answer.
Prevent loosening of the guy line from vibration. And then you looked at me like I was wrong.
I'm looking at you.
You literally said, I don't normally say anything.
Yeah, because it should be
so
obvious.
Thanks. Okay. So Jesus. Thanks. I said the right answer.
Okay, so going back to the apprenticeship of Guy, a guy line must be put up by someone named Guy. It's for a tower. It's strengthening. It's lines that you put on towers that get to a certain height where they can't stand under their own free weight.
Oh.
They get to a point where they become too tall, and if you don't use wires on the sides of them to hold them taut, they would fall over.
Gotcha.
That is a guy line.
Okay. Next question. What is a satellite beacon? A, a reflective surface on the satellite. B, an indicator light that shows where to point your antenna. C, the primary transmit antenna on the satellite. D, a transmission from a satellite that contains status information. D, a transmission from a satellite that contains status information. What is the ability to store energy in a magnetic field called? A, resistance. B, admittance.
That's
C, inductance. D, capacitance.
You know this,
C,
right?
C, inductance.
Got it.
In general, what happens as the frequency of a signal passing through coaxial cable is increased? A, the characteristic impedance decreases. B, the characteristic impedance increases. C, the loss increases. D, the loss decreases. I haven't seen this question either.
Well, what is coax?
It's a cable.
Mm-hmm. What's it made of? Do you know what it's made of?
Metal and something around it.
Good, good. Coax has a center pin that's surrounded by a insulator. And then that's wrapped in what's called a shield, a metal shielding. Mm-hmm. And then that's wrapped in like another insulator. Very simple coax. Those two pieces, the center pin and the shield, make up the positive and negative of the electrical circuit.
Nothing about what you're telling me is helping me right now.
Well, generally, that's made of a metallic material of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
So based off of that metallic material and how it would function if you put RF through it. That doesn't help.
No,
me.
That okay. What?
I'm not trying to give you too much.
Okay. The frequency of the signal passing through the coax is increased.
So you're shoving more power down the line.
Either the loss increases or the impedance increases.
Yeah. Her finger is going back and forth, deciding on what she's going to click on right now. Everybody's waiting.
The loss increases. Yeah.
You got it. The loss?
Yeah.
Okay.
What safety equipment should always be included in home-built equipment that is powered from 120-volt AC power circuits?
A 9mm automatic, baby.
A, an AC voltmeter across the incoming power source. B, an inductor in parallel with the AC power source. C, a fuse or circuit breaker in series with the AC hot conductor. D, a capacitor in series with the AC power source. C, a fuse or circuit breaker in series with the AC hot conductor.
Nicely done.
Great. That was, am I done?
I think so.
Do I just hit done then? I failed. I got 23 out of 35.
Okay. Well, we know you can do better now. And it was literally Gordon West. That spurred you on to the greatness of two completed practice tests. That's awesome. No, I'm super proud. Like, it was literally in the course of like 2 days.
Oh yeah, I've only been studying for 2 days. Yeah,
and it's the hamstudy.org app that you're using. Mm-hmm. And on that app, you are taking the practice test, and then your words, you said, when you don't know the question, you're reading the background on it.
Yeah, if I'm actually interested in the question. I'm just not that interested in some of the questions.
I appreciate your honesty. That is fantastic.
But it turns out knowing some of the formulas is a big deal.
It turns out sometimes maths is good.
Frequency in meters, that's that formula.
That formula?
Yeah.
What's the number?
And then power with, what is it, impedance?
Is that the Ohm's law one, the circle? Did they show you the picture?
Oh, I don't think I saw a circle. I just looked at the formulas.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, you want to start a new test?
No, but didn't I just do 5 questions? <Just kidding. laughs>
Okay, so then the topic of today's show is portable power. We're obviously rolling into Winterfield Day, and one of the big things about Winterfield Day is that you run portable power.
What exactly is this jackery?
You've been waiting to say that, and you've literally been holding it in your head to talk about the jackery.
There is a box with a molded handle that is titled Jackery, Portable Power Station, Power Outdoors.
Mm. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about power outdoors. So Winterfield Day, again, I would call it a little bit more hardcore than ARRL Field Day. Their rules are a little bit stiffer on some things. And the way they break up the categories is based on like how outdoors you are. So if you're truly outdoors, we talked about it last week. So if you're interested in that, by the way, go to Winterfield Day. Just Google it, Winterfield Day, and you'll pull up the website, and we'll post the link in the description. Winterfield Day is a contest that starts this Saturday through this Sunday. And it's also about making contacts, just like all the other contests are.
I feel like this is the most dangerous of field days.
People gonna die. No, I don't think anybody's gonna die.
You could freeze.
Dude, there's W6RIP. He's
W6RIP?
Yeah.
That's literally in his name.
It's literally in his name. He has been out in the field in Utah in the snow, super cold temperatures, this whole week to get ready for Winterfield Day. He's been living in a tent.
What?
Yeah. And he has a tent with a wood stove in it.
How do you do that without burning the tent?
He has a special tent. Special tent.
Is the tent called a house?
No, it's a tent. I'll show you a picture. It's kind of like a little yurt, kind of. It's got like a, like a, you know, teepee-ish kind of sides to it.
Yeah, I've stayed in a yurt before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So portable power is really important, but there's kind of a trade-off because...
Does his yurt have a balcony, though?
No, it doesn't. It is a tent.
That's
more than a yurt.
That's the kind of yurt I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
That yurt also had bunk beds in it and heaters.
Yeah.
And electrical power.
And it was like more than 20 feet circumference. It was very big. It was a very big yurt.
It was more than 20 feet wide.
Oh, sorry. In diameter. The diameter was way more than 20 feet on that circle footprint the yurt. Okay. So portable power is obviously a big thing, but there is a trade-off because a lot of times when you are in the proper winter, there's not a lot of solar to draw off of.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be part of your considerations. I think there's a lot of you that are thinking about doing Winterfield Day. You may already have the equipment to do some stuff. And I know a lot of people, they really just go out for a couple of hours, test out their equipment, and get their ass back inside because it's cold.
Sure.
So today we're talking about portable power, and I have two options, basically. And these are the things I use. So we're going to talk about the Jackery Portable Power Station. It is a basically a... What's the amp hour draw on that? Where is it?
I just don't think that Jackery is a good name for a portable power solution. You just think you're going to get clowned on. It's like a prank energy.
I'll talk about why I carry it. So it's a 16 amp hour battery solution. It has two USB ports, and those are fully powered USB ports. So you can run Raspberry Pis off of them. It is a 12 volt cigarette lighter with a 10 amp output on that cigarette lighter, which means for consideration, the 7300, the ICOM IC7300, requires 23 amps of power draw for it to put out 100 watts RF output. So this unit will not allow you to hit 100 watts output. You would likely be less than that, but it's not like 50 watts necessarily. You'd have to, you know, test it out to know better, and you don't really want to push the upper limits of it. But it's a good option for QRP radios, it's a good option for Raspberry Pis, and it has an AC plug in it that is a sine wave 110 volt 200 watt plug for laptops. And if it was fully charged, you basically would get like three charges for a laptop out of that box.
Wow.
So it's runs you about $199 for that box, and there is a 100 watt solar panel that goes with it, and that's about $179.
So you're in for almost $400 here?
With the panel and the box, yeah.
Wow.
Now, the reason why I mentioned this up front is this is kind of a... It is
hold
functional.
On, I'm just making some quick notes from my purse, okay?
It's functional. All the things it does is totally applicable. One of the reasons why I take it along is because it works really well with laptops. It just plugs in. You can plug a laptop into it, charge the laptop up, and it is a MPPT in charge controller, so it doesn't put out a lot of noise, which is what you want to avoid, particularly if you're plugging a laptop into that.
But can you plug a touch lamp into it?
You could plug a touch lamp into it.
Okay.
In fact, they have some.
They have their own touch lamp.
No, they are basically saying that you can run an electric blanket at 40 watts for 10 hours, a 15 watt fan for 15 hours. You can run a 60 watt television for 3 hours. You can get 24 charges of an iPhone 8.
How long can you run a Nintendo Switch off of it, though?
A while. So I mention this because sometimes if you're like me, if you're going to go play portable radio, you're generally bringing your family along with you. Mm. And this is a really nice unit that you can plug a bunch of crap into it and keep your family happy and still keep it topped off with power so that you can keep playing radio and they not bug you. So
it's about family management.
Family management. Family power management. Yes, indeed. It has a nice little display that you can click on, and it will show you what the draw is and what the remaining power supply is. It uses a barrel connector for the input from the solar. The newer models, or the larger models, actually use Anderson power poles. So if you're an Anderson rules the world type person, which I am generally, that's an option if you want to do that. It's nice because it's simple. You just set it up and let it charge, and you can draw power off of it, and it's ready to go with kind of whatever you want to do. And so for that, it's pretty good. 16 amp hours is a little light, but the combination of the ports that it has, including the 110 volt AC line, is pretty good. So I generally rank it pretty high for its convenience factor. Now, the system that I generally take with my QRP radios, if I'm going to set up for a while, I use a Buddy Pull Power Mini, which is about $145. It has an OLED display, and that's generally for showing what the draw is and what the input is from the solar panel. It has one input for solar, one input for a battery, and then two outputs for a load. So you could run two radios, or you could run a amp depending on what kind of amp you have, and your radio. And it also has a USB port, so you can run a Raspberry Pi off this unit as well. Again, it's $149. It is a really, really nice unit because it can take a pretty decently sized solar panel and still work very well with it without, you know, overloading it or anything. And it's really small, so it packs up really nice. And to go along with that, I pack a BioEno 28-watt solar panel, which is about $105. 28 watts solar is really the lower limit of what I would carry out, but it works fine for QRP radios, and it works based off of the size of the battery I'm connecting to it. The battery that I connect to the radio solar panel setup is a 9-amp-hour BioEno battery. That will run the 705 for a long, long time, and that's what I'm looking for. Okay. I want to keep it topped off with the solar, but I want an appreciably sized battery that's still not too big. I wouldn't necessarily drag it out for like a soda, because with a soda, for those of you that are listening, with a soda...
for those of you that are listening.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. I guess for those of you that are still listening. For a soda, you are not trying to be out there all day. Unless you're Adam. He sometimes is out there all day. But you're generally trying to make your contacts, and you kind of hang out a little while longer. You make some more contacts to make sure everybody gets activated that wants to get activated. And then you kind of like skedaddle out of there because, you know, you want to get home, you want to get off the mountain, that kind of stuff. If you're setting up something a little bit more long-term, like for winter field day, then you can take a smaller solar panel and you can just have a bigger battery. Now, ideally, that battery's charged to get started, because then you're kind of just trying to keep up with the charge that mm-hmm. you're taking away with your radio. Then when nighttime rolls around and you switch to the low bands, you will start depleting that battery. But it's nice to have a little bit bigger battery for those times, because you can run through the night then. And then you can wake up in the morning, battery starts charging off the solar, and you can get right back to work. You probably won't be 100% though when you get to the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using like a 25 or 28 watt panel, but if you were using like a 100 watt panel, then yeah, you'd be good to go. So lots of options.
So what are you taking with you?
I'm taking both these options.
Oh,
for winter field day. So I'm going to run the laptop off the Jackery, because it already has the plug for the laptop.
Is that going to fit with the golf clubs?
The golf clubs?
Yeah.
I'm not golfing.
And the yoga mat?
Oh, yeah, we'll wrap the yoga mat around the Jackery.
And the ping pong paddles.
And the ping pong paddles. They better have ping pong paddles. How are the kids going to stay occupied while I'm playing radio?
I don't know.
I can't have them.
They did request the Nintendo Switch, though.
I know, I heard that. I got to charge it. So there are many options for power, portable power out there. I recommend you do check them out and do your research. These are just two options that I recommend. The Jackery, again, is probably more aimed towards the person that may have other people that want to plug in and wants a really simple turnkey solution. If you want to go, though, with the BuddyPole Power Mini, that is going to be ham radio specific. The only thing that you can run off of that is like USB powered stuff. So like a tablet.
Okay.
You're not going to power a laptop off of that. You're going to need a separate solution for a laptop.
What would you say this logo for Jackery is of?
What, the logo?
There's a logo next to the word Jackery. What would you say that's of?
It's a square.
It's not a square, though.
I mean,
it's got a blob in the middle. I'm not sure what it's supposed to be.
I don't know. We'll post the link to the Amazon for this. I found that the Amazon prices are the same as the Jackery website and most of the other places you can buy them. And you can plus this up depending on if you need more power. They have bigger batteries inside of them. The thing to keep in mind is that this has a pure sine wave inverter, a 16 amp hour battery, and a MPPT charge controller in it, which are all the things you want generally if you're playing ham radio, just to keep the noise down and to make everything run smoothly. I am going to post a link. It is an Amazon affiliate link if you're interested in checking them out. But all the things that I'm recommending here will be in the description for the podcast, and so you can check that out.
Great.
Yeah. Well, are you excited for Winterfield Day, Leah?
I just wanted to know again, how much was the other battery setup you were talking about? Because we're at 400 with the Jackery system.
With the solar panel that goes with it. Yeah.
Okay. And then what's the other one? Oh, what's the other setup you're bringing?
I don't know. Were you not paying attention for that segment?
I guess I could listen to the podcast once it's up.
Once your apprentice posts it.
Yeah. Once whom it may concern
posts it. Posts it for everyone. Indeed, good sir. Well, you have been watching the Ham Radio Crash Course.
Watching?
Again, jeez. I'm so used to saying watching. You don't understand. That's like breaking something I've been doing for like over 10 years. It's really difficult to do that. It's really difficult. I know how to default. I just default, slide into my defaults, and I'm good to go. So I apologize. You've been listening to the Ham Radio Crash Course podcast, which is the podcast for the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course video channel. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to have some fun this weekend, so I hope you tag along for the fun. But until we talk to you again, 73.
73.